Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The day your baseball season ends, and I think this goes with all sports, basketball too, football as well, it's always an awkward following day because there's a part of you trying to figure out what went wrong. You know, you're kind of figuring out what happened in that last game that caused your season to end. And then your brain quickly takes you to the future. And the Yankees have a very questionable future that we've known about for the last 7 months because they went out and made an aggressive trade for a great all-time player in Juan Soto. And we all knew what they got going in. They gave up a lot, but they got a great player. A player that I admit as an IBO has been a joy to watch. And I admit that selfishly because early in Juan's career, Tiki, he was not a joy to watch. He was in my division as a Met fan. And while I always respected him, it was painful, to say the least. And obviously, watching him every day with the New York Yankees, he is everything I thought he was, if not more. He is one of the greatest hitters I've ever laid eyes on. He battles every single at-bat. I think he's a little overrated defensively, but whatever. And now is go time. Because I have no regrets that the Yankees made this trade. They did what they had to do. They wanted to try to win a World Series, and they did the best they could, and they got to the fifth game of the World Series. But now it comes down to, are they going to be able to bring him back? And the one constant I've had since the beginning was, Juan Soto is not giving anybody a discount. He is not going to just enjoy his experience here and say, I'm staying. It is going to be about the money and the years. And I think we all have to respect that. That the player has a right to do that when they get to free agency. And I think as we get to the eve of MLB free agency, because it's sort of here but not really, players hit free agency the day after the World Series ends, and then there are 5 days before other teams can begin negotiating. So in 5 days, he'll be open to the world. But there is a lot of uncertainty on if they're going to be able to bring him back.
Yeah, now, of course.
Would you agree that that should be priority number one?
I mean, it has to be, but I think it's everybody's priority. And it's even teams that don't want to spend money, they're going to try to put together some package, I would assume, that could be enticing towards him. And now probably some of that would be deferred. Like I think a lot of teams would have to do the deferred route simply because of the number that it's going to cost, similar to Shohei Ohtani. And it's obviously now a viable option for some teams, but it is priority number one. And the Yankees, while they have a little window to he's not going to sit here and just listen solely to the Yankees. He said it in not so many words that every team, actually in exact words, all 30 teams have a chance.
Let's take a listen. These are Juan Soto's words after the season ended, and it should be noted, Juan was the last guy to leave the Yankee dugout. So he took this loss hard. He didn't just leave when the game ended and said, who cares, I'm a free agent. And the first question that was asked to Juan Soto was, do you think the Yankees have an advantage to bring you back because of the year you just spent here? Listen to what Juan Soto said.
I feel like every team has the same opportunities when I'm going to the free agency. I don't want to say anybody has any advantage because at the end of the day, we're going to look what they have and how much they want me.
Are you surprised by that answer? That
No.
He was blunt in saying everyone's got the same shot?
Yeah, we're going to see what they have and how much they want me. That's what he said, which basically means how many zeros are you throwing on here? How many crooked numbers are at the front of it?
Are you surprised, Sean? Because one of the arguments you tried to put at me was, there is an advantage to the Yankees acquiring him, experiencing New York, going on a deep postseason run. Juan Soto told you, unless you think he's lying, he just told you that that's BS and not true. There's no advantage.
I'm not saying he's lying, but I think he's saying exactly what his agent is telling him to say. And I think in the back of his mind, if you get two offers that are even, you know, $500,000 to $1 million apart, the Yankees will be the tiebreaker because of how much you like to be here. That doesn't mean the Yankees could come completely short here at all. Mm. I'm not suggesting that. But I do think the Yankees still have an advantage with the fact that they traded for him and he got to experience this ride. Especially, you know, last night, too, the post game, talking about how tight these guys are, family, and Aaron Boone's calling him family. I would be stunned if he's not here.
Okay. Now, that what you're saying, though, in fairness, is fan fiction. Because Juan Soto said no one has an advantage. And maybe it did come from Scott Boris, but that's what he said. That's the only thing we could trust.
Well,
but that's what he said.
You have been telling me,
and I wasn't saying it because he's leaving the Yankees. I don't know if he's going to leave the Yankees, but what I've always felt about Juan Soto from the beginning is that he's just going to go to the highest bidder. And that's basically what he said.
I think two things are true here, though. I do think he's going to go to the highest bidder. I do also think that he knows in the back of his mind the Yankees have surely the pockets and the ability to be the highest bidder. So why, if you're trying to go to the highest bidder, even give a little bit of leverage back? You might as well say the whole thing because this whole thing's going to be a negotiation. So I think both of those things come into play here.
Juan Soto was then asked specifically about the Mets. Obviously, the Mets have been rumored a lot. Met fans, I admit, I am a Met fan, but we've been kind of obnoxious at some points in talking about this, but Juan was directly asked, do you expect the New York Mets to go after you in free agency?
I don't know what's the teams that want to come after me, but definitely I'll be open to this and every single team. I don't have any doors closed or anything like that, so I'm going to be available for all 30 teams.
Scott Boris must love this.
Of course. And it's not even... It's like it's rehearsed.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because it doesn't sound like a, I don't know, just a, oh, I have never thought about that. It's like, this is just a rehearsed answer.
He sounds, I hate to say this, and this is not like a knock on him necessarily. He sounds emotionless.
Yes.
He sounds like,
yes.
Guys, I've been waiting 6 years for this. I've turned down hundreds of millions of dollars. I'm not going to screw around. I'm not going to tell you a little of fables that you want to hear. I'm going to listen to everybody, and you guys better come prepared. That's basically what he's saying. Like, you better pay me. I've earned it. Go pay me now.
Yeah, as he should. This is no different than if somebody hires a lawyer, and their lawyer tells them exactly what to say to keep their mouth shut.
I will give you one positive about Juan Soto's free agency. As cold as he was last night, I think he's been very cold in this. Not as cold as Gerrit Cole. I don't know if you guys remember this. So when Gerrit Cole lost Game 7 of the World Series, the Astros lost Game 7 of the World Series, he was a free agent, right? And obviously the Yankees fans, they wanted him. They were targeting him. Gerrit Cole at his post-game press conference wouldn't wear an Astros hat. Mm. He was wearing, if memory serves correct, a Boris hat. He was basically done with the Astros.
Yeah.
The game was over, and he's like, I'm corporate, baby. Juan Soto did these interviews with a backwards Yankee hat on. Mm. I'm just saying. So as cold as it sounds, I do want to give you that physical description that Juan at least still thought of himself enough to be a New York Yankee that he was wearing the hat.
Yeah, I mean, look, we could sit here and speculate all day where he's going to end up, who's going to make the biggest offer, because we don't know until we actually see those offers or what his mindset is. The only thing we can really talk about is how much the Yankees need him to stay here.
Correct.
It is imperative for them to keep Juan Soto, because we saw it. We saw these moments when Aaron Judge goes into a shell of who he should be, and Juan Soto stays consistent. And there's fear, and there's more depth into this lineup. And, you know, not that I agree with you, Evan. He's probably not a Gold Glove right fielder, even though he is one of the finalists to be a Gold Glove right fielder. But there were moments out there in right field where he looked like a really good right fielder. And so I think there are, I'm not saying it's all the time, I'm saying there were moments, right? And so you can count on him to be a professional every single day and every single at bat. And there are moments when he gets really emotional and you can tell he really wants it. And he flips that switch. You know, we were talking about flipping the switch. It's like he can actually do it. And be successful at it.
Well, and he had a very good postseason. Let's be honest. I mean,
right.
Juan Soto was there. He was ready to play. He got the hit that sent the Yankees to the World Series.
Yep.
One last clip of Juan Soto before we get into how important it is for the Yankees to keep him. It was the question of, hey, did Yankee fans chanting for you to stay, does that impact your decision? Listen to this answer. I think it is the truth, and it's fascinating, from Juan Soto.
Fans have been very loud. They've been chanting for you to stay. Do you think that could impact your decision?
Probably impact the decision of the ownership. We'll see how it goes. So definitely really excited and really thankful for those fans. They've been incredible all year long.
So that was the only emotion that he gave in any of those answers.
Yes.
Love that answer.
But the answer is the truth. The answer is the reality. And I'll say this today, as free agency is about to begin, there is no excuse. No excuse. When you look, and I'm sorry, I'll do it. I'll count other people's money in the case of this. There is no excuse when you have your own regional sports network, when you sell out basically every game, when World Series tickets are over $1,000, when you're selling Shohei Ohtani t-shirts in your building. I will make this very clear, because I know I'll give a Met perspective at some point, but right now I'm giving you the Yankee perspective. You cannot be outbid on Juan Soto. It is unacceptable behavior from the New York Yankees. And I get they've spent a lot of money. And I get that Hal has said we don't need a $300 million payroll. Mm-hmm. It is an absolute must to be the highest bidder for Juan Soto. You cannot let any other team, whether it's Middleton in Philadelphia, whether it's Cohen with my team, whether it's down in Washington because they want to right the wrong. There is no way you could allow yourself to be outbid. And I thought that was the best answer he gave, Teague, because he's right. This isn't about Juan Soto. No. This is about the owners being willing to pay what's necessary to keep this generational brilliance with the New York Yankees for the next 15 years. If it doesn't happen, remember this. And Sean, you've said this, so I'm not yelling at you, per se. Mm-hmm. It is not Juan Soto's fault. It is the Yankees' fault.
There is no doubt it'd be the Yankees' fault. And I'll go a step further, and I've been adamant about this all year. I understand that it was, quote-unquote, always a one-year audition. Tiki mentioned Gerrit Cole's age a little while ago, 34 years old. The Yankees gave up a boatload of big-time hopeful pitching to get Juan Soto in here. And the Yankees, at no point this year, behaved and acted like a team that should have been completely all in on this only being their opportunity. If they did so, then they trade a Spencer Jones and do something like that. They acted as if this was an audition to get Juan Soto comfortable here, see how it worked. We saw it worked well. The fans loved it. And I'll do you another one, too. I mean, you're not going to ban fans grabbing Mookie Betts' arms because they're spending money on season tickets. You have no problem taking their money. You better pay Juan Soto, because this will be the moment when everybody says, oh, if George was alive this, if George was alive that. Juan Soto signing with the New York Mets, even specifically, anywhere, but specifically the Mets, and the Yankees not being the highest bidder, is unrecoverable for this ownership group with the fans. We tasted what getting back to a World Series was like. We know it's because of Juan Soto. You will lose fans' dollars, and I'd advocate it too. A lot less interest in going to games if you're showing me you're not interested in paying Juan Soto.
It's hard to argue with that, because there's one guy that this team wants. I mean, obviously, they have Aaron Judge already, and they have Gerrit Cole already. These guys are locked up, and even if Cole opts out, as Evan has described multiple times, it's just a way to get another year on the back end of his contract. The stars that you want are here. Stanton is here. As you know, the Volpe is here. All these the players are here. The one that you want and you need most is Juan Soto, because of how consistent he's been. Now, the question that I think gets thrown out there too often is whether or not Hal is going to be willing to spend. I think what Hal has said over the past few months, or going back to the beginning of the season, around not needing a $300 million payroll and things of that nature, I don't think he was talking about Juan Soto. I think he was talking about going to get everybody else, right? Going to do what the Dodgers are doing. I think those questions, we didn't know the context of them, but right, they're likely asked in the context of the Dodgers going to get Shohei Ohtani and Yoshinobu Yamamoto this past offseason. And it's just, and it's addition to Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman. Like, the money that the Dodgers are willing and able to spend it's ludicrous. I mean, they might spend more this offseason. You don't know.
Right.
And I think what Hal is saying is, we're not going to do that, but we're damn sure going to go keep Juan Soto.
And you know what's funny, T? I don't think they have to do that. I know that some Yankee fans want that or demand that. I don't think that's the need. The need is to keep this player. And here's my wonder. The wonder I have is there an amount of money is there an amount of years, because I've thrown numbers at you for the last 7 months, and I think you're skeptical. And I understand why, because the numbers I have thrown out are very high. I have predicted over $700 million, and I stand by that. Is there going to be a number that's going to cause this owner to say, I just can't do that. I'm willing to pay. I'm just not willing to go that far, because I do believe, for a myriad of reasons, based on his age, based on his ridiculous Ted Williams-like hitting over the first 7 years of his career, based on the fact that, forget his defense for a second. Like, the way I view Juan Soto as a baseball player is I think he's going to age fine, and when he does age, he'll be my DH.
Right.
So in year 9 of the contract, okay, he's going to be a hit machine as my left-handed DH. Like, I'm not afraid of it. I wouldn't be afraid of it. But is there an amount of money that would cause this owner to say, I can't go that far? And that would be my concern, because I do wonder, and it's not just Steve Cohen, because he'll get all the attention. I worry about the Phillies. I'm going to put that warning sign out right now. I am very worried about Philadelphia Philly ownership.
Yeah, why would you not also be worried about the Orioles? They got a billionaire, and you know what I mean?
It's a great question. I'll tell you why. It's a great question, because I need to see him do it, and I've seen the Phillies do it.
Right, right.
And so you're right. Could the Orioles, and that would scare me if I'm a Yankee fan, sure, because it's bad enough to lose them. It's even worse if it's inside your division. But I think the Phillies have already shown you, with Trey Turner, with Bryce Harper, with what the owner has said openly about being willing to spend, I think that there's going to be a bid, Teak, that's going to make Hal feel uncomfortable. And the question is he going to be willing to go past that number? Because I truly feel with Juan Soto, he's the guy who's not giving anybody any kind of discount.
Right. You know, I think the more interesting question is not whether or not Hal is going to be scared by it. It's going to be whether or not his marketing people can make it worth it, right? Make the numbers work, because that's what it's going to come down to. When whatever the number is that you're going to ultimately pay Juan Soto, it's not just going to be because he's now the highest paid. It's because Shohei Ohtani made this. That's the precedent. And now we're going to take a 10% jump over the precedent. That's not what it's going to come down. It's going to come down to the economic benefit, right? The return on that investment. What's it look like? Like, physically, like actually look like, not just, right, you know, our rote understanding of it, but what's the actual return on getting Juan Soto here? And if he does this, and this, because they did this with A-Rod, when the record-breaking, home runs or whatever it was he was going to accomplish as a Yankee, they calculated that into the conversation about his contract. And the same thing is going to happen with Juan Soto. And so it's not whether or not Hal says, yes, I will spend whatever. It's the people who were advising Hal saying, you know what? You're going to get this economic benefit. You're going to get this economic benefit. You're going to get this sales. Then you're going to get this Hispanic population. You're going to get this new advertising deal. You're going to get all of these other things. That's what it's going to come down to. So it's not just Hal. It's who's advising Hal side.
But Teak, along
people
with
don't want to hear that, but that's the reality of how this works.
But concerning that, I do have a follow-up to that, that I don't know how you calculate, and it's what Sean alluded to. What about the losses if you lose him? What about the people that don't go to the ballpark? Or the people that are, I think we're good, I'm not buying tickets.
But I think that's somewhat mitigated, because you still have the AL MVP. As much as we talk about how great Juan Soto was this season and how he was the catalyst in a sense, Aaron Judge is the MVP of the American League this year. And that guy's on your team for the next 8 years. So you're not necessarily worried about that. People are always going to still love Aaron Judge. Now, are they going to have this ire, this little twinge of ire stuck in the back of their mind about the error in the fifth inning and being mostly invisible for this postseason? Sure. But they still love Aaron Judge, and they're going to go to see Aaron Judge play.
Yeah, I'll say this real quick, because this is about the Yankees. I believe the Yankees can't be outbid for Juan Soto. I also believe the Mets can't be outbid for Juan Soto. So I think we're going to have a very kind of weird offseason, because as an IBO, and then I'll speak as a fan, obviously, I believe that he's so good and is so generational that I would not be outbid. He is the free agent you wait for. And so for the Yankees, he's yours. You had him for a year. You can't be outbid. And as a Met fan, I would say, this is why I wanted Steve Cohen as owner. Not just to sign a bunch of guys, but to sign the guy. And Met fans, let me make this clear. I said it last year about Yamamoto. I'll say it this year about Juan Soto. Yes, the Mets had a great year. Yes, OMG was fun. If you want to sign Juan Soto, you can't just be the highest bidder. You need to leave no doubt. And that's what's on the table for Steve Cohen. He needs to clear the hurdle of being the highest bidder. Hal Steinbrenner needs to be the highest bidder. And that's the spot we're in going into the offseason. Good luck, billionaires.
Right.
Have fun. But honestly, there's no excuse from either side not proposing the highest bid. And I'll tell you what that number is. It's 15 years, and it's $750 million. And that may make you feel uncomfortable. That may sound nuts. Take your calculator out. It makes a hell of a lot of sense.
I have one more request of Juan Soto, who I love as a Yankee fan, and I probably will always love if this was the only year. Dude, get this done before Thanksgiving. I can't live in a world where we are stretching this out January, February. By the time Tommy DeVito takes his first snap as Giants quarterback this year, Juan Soto needs to be signed. That's it. Well, end of story.
Well, I want you guys to write this down and do some research. But coming up at exactly 6 o'clock right here on The Fan, and this is the only day to do it because it's technically the beginning of free agency, we will all declare a prediction on the date Juan Soto signs. Will it be December 10th, January 15th, February 7th, or next week? So we'll make our official predictions coming up at exactly 6 o'clock. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Mike, who's calling from Westchester County. How are you this afternoon, Mike?
Hey, gentlemen, how are you? Long time no talk.
Thanks, dude.
I don't think he's coming back to the Yankees, but that's not why I called. I have a question for you. I was kicking this around with my brother this afternoon, and we've been Yankees fans for a long time. I think that was the worst inning in Yankee history. Now, I know Game 7, Arizona. Yeah, okay, I get that. Yeah, they lost the World Series, left on the field. You look at all the variables. No hitter going into the inning. 5-0 lead. Your eighth on the mound. Going to push a Game 6. With that circus that went on, I'm older than everybody in the room. I'm not that old, but that's the worst inning, I think, in Yankee history. I want to hear your guys' opinion. And
I think Mike, thank you very much for the call. I think it's definitely up there on the short list because I think any other inning you come up with, whether it's, the ninth inning of Game 7 against Arizona, you will always come up with things that are normal. That inning featured so many things that were not normal. And the win probability, and I usually hate win probability, but that game felt over. They're up 5-0 with the ace on the mound dominating. So I think it's up there as maybe the worst inning in the history of the Yankees. I don't think that's crazy.
Given what was at stake, it probably definitely was.
Yeah.
Hard to argue. And it's the worst inning I've ever seen in person.
Like, you can go back to Game 7 of 04 and take the first or second inning when the Red Sox made it clear that it was going to be their night. But I don't think even those innings featured the absolute incompetence and disgustingness and disgracefulness that John Sterling described that we saw in that one inning. Evan, so while it may not match the moment or the game in the series, in terms of just how pathetic it was, it's number one. But never forget this. The Yankees had a lead going into the eighth inning. So despite that, they had a chance to win the game.
This just sucks. There was a point in time yesterday I grabbed the chicken finger and actually sung out loud, "We're going back to Cali. And that was up 5-0. So now I'm a fat idiot again.
That's not the only thing you did last night, which I'll expose later in the show. Excuse me? I saw the best and the worst of Sean Morash, that's for sure. There's a big football game tonight. The New York Jets take on the Houston Texans. We'll preview that game coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. But Bad Tiki joins us on this Thursday, and he's brought to you by Security Dodge, Chrysler Jeep Ram. Shop 24/7 at securitydodge.com. And come get some. Bad Tiki is a...
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
A sentient AI-generated being and is not affiliated with or representative of the real Tiki Barber. Tiki Barber has the views and opinions expressed by Bad Tiki do not reflect those of Tiki Barber, WFAN Odyssey. I got to take my mask off, man. I'm wearing a skeleton mask, and I have a tough time like seeing anything. But either way, the opinions expressed by Bad Tiki are entirely separate from those expressed by Bad Tiki's listeners, and Vineyards are strongly advised to exercise critical thinking and discernment when engaging with the Bad Tiki segment. Bad Tiki, welcome back to the show, man.
What in the world is that, Bad Tiki? Are you making Halloween sounds? Oh, hello? Sorry, guys. I was just giving some chocolate to a cute trick-or-treater. Thanks for stopping by, Mrs. Roberts. Have a wonderful Halloween. Ow, oh, trick-or-treat. Okay, losers, is it 4:30 already? Let's make this quick. Bad Tiki has Halloween plans.
Oh, do you, Bad Tiki? Well, what are your big Halloween plans, pal?
What a great question, Evan. The usual Bad Tiki Supreme Halloween. Visits from trick-or-treaters, some charity work, parties with famous people, pumpkin carving with famous people, might tell some ghost stories with famous people, and then we conjure up some evil spirits from the demon world to wreak havoc on the innocent souls while they sleep. Then, ice cream sundaes with famous people. It's a tradition I never miss.
Bad Tiki, what do you mean conjure up evil spirits to wreak havoc on the innocent souls?
Sean, I'm glad you asked. This year I've decided to call upon one of the most evil spirits known to man. I actually summoned him a few days ago, but I haven't seen him turn up anywhere. I know he's in the physical world, likely somewhere in New York. If you see him, I highly recommend staying away. Also, keep this evil, unholy spirit away from anyone or anything you love. He's known to destroy anything he comes in contact with.
Who are you talking about, Bad Tiki? What evil spirit did you unleash?
Joey Crack. Joey Crack, the Don himself. Fat Joe. I summoned Fat Joe from the underworld to destroy any hopes and dreams anyone had in New York this Halloween. Let me know if you see him turn up anywhere.
Fat Joe was at Yankee Stadium on Monday night. He cursed the Yankees. Then he was in the Bronx last night, Bad Tiki, and he cost the Yankees a World Series. This was your fault?
Fat Joe is on the loose. Bad Tiki warned you. Joey Cracked a God is a danger to all humanity. I cannot be held responsible for what an evil interdimensional entity unleashed from evil spirit hell is capable of when you give him a pair of Tims and a mic and let him stomp all over your mound before a crucial World Series game. Yes, I unlocked him from his spiritual hell, but I didn't book him to perform at Yankee Stadium. Miss me with that BS.
All right, Bad Tiki, you're right. It's not your fault, but it did cost the Yankees the World Series. Don't you feel bad, like, a little bit?
I feel bad. You suck. Shut up, Ginger Werewolf. Just shut up. You talk so much. It's so annoying. Stop talking. Bad Tiki is sick of hearing you talking. Did you know there is an island of garbage floating in the ocean? I think it's called Evan Roberts. Evan Roberts, you are garbage with red hair. Garbage. Red hair.
Are you dressing up, Bad Tiki? I mean, come on.
Great question, regular Tiki. I am dressing up. Can you guess who I am dressing up as? Baseball season is too long. I'm done with baseball. No more baseball. I hate rookies. Rookies are stupid and they suck. Except for Jeremy Shockey, that guy ruled. My clothes are so tight, my nipples are numb. I'm not as tall as Bad Tiki. Any guesses yet? Keep Nate Hackett's name out your mouth. You're dead to me, Saquon.
All right. I think it's obvious that you're Tiki, but don't you think that's a little bit lazy of a costume, Bad Tiki? Come on.
Why are you talking again? Stop it. You know what's lazy? You not needing a costume today because you dress like you raided the lost and found at a daycare. You really nail the I forgot I am an adult look. Please don't take this personal, Evan, but I really do hate you. I've had enough. Negative Tommy, handle this, please.
Gladly, Bad Tiki. You think it's a good thing the Yankees lost the World Series? It's not. Now they are just going to be angry. They are going to double down and crush the spirit of the Mets fan. Specifically me. Soto will be in pinstripes until the next ice age. You think that's bad? You want to laugh at Rizzo becoming a statue? There goes Pete Alonso, straight to Monument Park. While you're at it, Carlos Mendoza will be back in the Bronx, too. As Luis Rojas' personal assistant, Mets fans, we will yearn for the days of Jason Bay and Roberto Alomar. I'm not the future of WFAN. I am nothing but a speck on the shoe of Chris McGonigal. I can't stop screaming. What is the purpose? years of my existence. Bad Tiki, please fix me.
Okay, Tommy, that's enough. It's trick-or-treating time. Negative Tommy is dressed as 2006 Carlos Beltran, frozen in time, staring at strike three. Very clever, Tommy. Okay, time for us to hit the road before all the good candy is gone. Bye, losers. Happy Halloween. Bad Tiki, out.
Well, thank you very much, Bad Tiki. That was quite special. I do remind you that Bad Tiki and Negative Tommy is a sentient IA-generated being not affiliated with or representative of the real Tiki Barber or the real Tommy Lugauer. Wow. You're right over there, Sean.
I can't. I love Negative Tommy.
Negative Tommy's what won you over?
I love him. He's my favorite character of all time on any show.
Yeah, that was quite an experience by Bad Tiki. Oh, man. Well, thank you. Bad Tiki joins us every single Thursday at 4:30, even on Halloween, even the day after the New York Yankees got eliminated.
I'm not the future of W fan. Put a sock in it.
The best part is he can't figure out why he talks so loudly. Why he's so negative.
I think he asked.
He doesn't understand his own existence.
Exactly. What is the purpose of my existence?
Oh, well, thank you, Bad Tiki. Every Thursday, 4:30, right here on WFAN. 888-808-1019 is the toll-free number. Let's go to John, who's calling from Manalapan. How are you, John?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yep. What's up, dude?
We can hear you. What's up?
How you guys doing? How you guys doing?
Good, man.
I'm terrible. I just took an exam. I go to college. I've been shaking since I lost last night. I swear to God, the second that game ended, I turned on. You know what I turned on? I went on YouTube. I went against, Sean, you know what I'm talking about, against the Cleveland Guardians back in April on a Sunday, okay? During the game, you know why we lost that game? Because of errors. We made four errors in a row in extra innings, and we freaking lost. And the same thing happened in the World Series for everyone to see. It's deplorable. I don't know who to blame. I don't know if it's on Boone. I don't know if it's on the players, but it's ridiculous.
Well, John, thanks for the call, man. I think, look, I get why Boone's getting the blame. Tiki laid this out the other day about the lack of, it feels like, urgency this team's had. But ultimately, players didn't make plays. Mm-hmm. You know, ultimately, Aaron Judge dropped the fly ball. He hadn't made an error all season long. And that's why I get your point, and I get a lot of Yankee fans' points about being mad at Aaron Boone, and defense was an issue all year. But it wasn't with Aaron Judge. So him dropping a fly ball in the fifth inning of Game 5 of the World Series doesn't feel like it's connected with the other defensive issues and with Boone's issues throughout the year.
But everything does get connected, because when Aaron Judge has that one moment he hasn't happened all year, what comes up? Why did they lose Game 1? Like, giving up stuff like that in Game 5 is compounded when you've already lost three games in the series because of other issues with the manager. So it all adds up. You lose your margin for error when you're a sloppy team.
I admit this. This is a rare time I'll say this, but I actually look forward to hearing from this guy, Ozzy and Woodridge. Ozzy, the floor is yours, sir.
What's up, gentlemen? How's everybody doing?
All's good.
I mean, I'm doing all right. If you ask me personally, I'm not sure how everyone else is doing, but thank you for asking me. What's on your mind?
Welcome. Sing along if you know the chorus. Hum, diddy hum, hum. I quit, I'm back. I quit, I'm back. The Yankees are destined to come back from a 3-0 deficit because of the parallels I drew from when the Red Sox came back against them, just like I did with the Rangers and the OJ parallels, and they were destined to win the Cup. Hum, diddy hum, hum. Thank God Reggie Jackson is still alive, unlike the Yankees. Hum, diddy hum, hum. Howdy Booney can't make little league managerial decisions, and Aaron Judge can't catch little league pop-up. Hum, diddy hum, hum.
Come on.
Only if they bench Aaron Judge when I told them to. Hum, diddy hum, hum. Don Mattingly is now my Wally Backman for the Yankees. All together, one last one.
Hum, diddy hum, hum. Well, Ozzy, thank you very much for the call. And I have to halfway defend Sean. So for those that didn't hear this, about 2 days ago, Sean did, how would you describe what you did to wake up the
seance.
Spirits? A seance. He had a
candles,
seance.
Yeah.
He tried to wake up the good ghosts in Yankee history. And so he woke up Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig and Joe DiMaggio, mistakenly thought Reggie Jackson was dead. And he would end each one with, And I have to admit, like, it worked in game four. The Yankees won.
Mm-hmm.
They were up 5-0 in game five, where I actually retweeted the video to say, wow, Sean Morash may deserve credit like Positive Tommy did with turning the Mets season around. Mm. Maybe Sean's turning the Yankee season around.
You jinxed it.
Now, well, here's the problem, Teague. I would take the blame. I don't mind taking the blame, but it wasn't me. It was, as Bad Tiki pointed out, Fat Joe.
That's a spirit I couldn't fight.
As soon as they put him on the screen
so
in the top
happened?
Of the
Explain
fifth inning.
This. Explain this happened because I wasn't in the stadium.
All right, because I don't even think they showed this on TV. So Yankees are cruising, right? They're up 5-0. We all know what happened. Gerrit Cole's dominating. All of a sudden on the big TV screen at Yankee Stadium, they show Fat Joe. I got no issue with Fat Joe. I don't even know that much about Fat Joe. I don't have negative feelings, positive feelings. I really have no feelings. But I know that his performance in Game 3 really didn't inspire. Wasn't exactly Ice Cube.
Right.
And some Yankee fans kind of looked at it and said, hey, that didn't work. So they show him on the screen. And what did he do on the screen, Sean? You remember it.
So there was a taped message about, you know, Joe Crack the Don is here, Yankee baseball, we're going back to L.A. Like he did this whole thing about firing up the crowd. And then you're thinking the taped message is it. Then they end the taped message and panned him in the crowd with his Yankee hat and Tim's on again, live in the stadium to do like the pump up the crowd like they're about to play sticks like it's a Steelers game. and that's basically what happened. And Evan, is God is our witness. I turned to him and Tom Izzo from our digital team. And what did I say right away?
Evan, you said we're screwed.
We're screwed.
Yeah.
Aaron Judge hadn't dropped the pop-up yet. Gerrit Cole hadn't figured out how to not cover first base yet. Gerrit Cole was throwing his warm-up pitches as this happened for that top of the fifth inning. So I hummed all those Yankee spirits for nothing because that Fat Joe came back after he screwed us in Game 3 and said, forget Reggie Jackson, forget Thurman Munson. I'm here to make this about me, and the Dodgers are getting a parade.
It's tough to argue with, Teague. I think Fat Joe cost the Yankees Game 5.
I mean, if you're going to believe in superstitions, then that's one to believe in because it cost him Game 3, too.
Dude, I threw out both pairs of Timberland boots I own today. That's how much I don't believe in it.
This whole baseball season with the Mets and the Yankees was filled with this. I mean, it was really mostly Mets, but then the Yankees got involved with, you know, Fat Joe and then Sean's hymns and everything. It became all about jinxes and ghosts and goblins, and it ended kind of the same way it always ends, without a parade in New York City.
That's not the only thing, Evan. You missed one here. A little off-air conversation that happened with Sean because he was berating an employee that works here, Anthony Gallo, host shows, does stuff with digital. Anthony Gallo was just talking to Sean about the 2004 ALCS documentary, World Series on the Boston Red Sox. And Sean basically undressed him. He yelled at him. He put him in his place. That's kind of funny because Sean, about a day ago, was banging the drum. You had to stoop to the level of going back to the worst series in the history of your franchise to try to will your team back. So you had to stoop to that level, and it didn't even work. So now crawl back into your hole because you tried to erase that. It wasn't erased. And now you add another chapter to this because you had the worst inning in the history of your franchise. Do you care to apologize to Anthony Gallo?
Okay. No, because desperate times call for desperate measures. I'm not walking around today calling the Yankees the uncrowned champions because if not for errors, they would have won. I'm not doing that. Nor did I just have a baseball season that was 162-game McDonald's advertisement. So I'm okay over here.
Well, I don't know why the Mets had anything. I asked you a Yankee Red Sox question. I didn't ask you a Mets question.
Why? I've been nothing but a good citizen over the last week and a half. Why do I have to face shrapnel? I mean, why do I have to?
Evan, you were a good boy last night.
Is he lying?
Is he lying?
When was the last time you saw Grimace? I'm being 100% honest in asking.
Grimace, you're our lucky charm.
Last time you saw Grimace, it had to be a decade ago.
Before the Mets brought him back to Earth?
Yes, had to be a decade ago.
It was probably a decade ago, but it was one of those things where it worked and it was fun. My attitude in sports.
Was it really fun? And did it actually work? Or was it really OMG the whole time?
Okay, so a couple of things, because you asked a very interesting question. I think it was a lot of things. I don't think it was just Grimace. It was OMG.
Just admit it. It was OMG the whole time.
It was OMG the whole time, but I think Grimace was for the fans. Like, we just enjoyed that shtick that went along with it.
Who cares about the fans? The players are the ones that matter.
Yeah, but
they're the ones that needed to believe. They're the ones that needed to play at a different heightened level. They didn't care about Grimace.
I mean, but you don't
half of them probably didn't even see Grimace. Half of them were probably like, who the hell is that purple blob out there?
No, Pete Alonso.
Pete Alonso had years old.
Pete Alonso had Grimace cleats on, so he kind of embraced it a little bit.
Yeah, because how much do you think he got paid for those?
Maybe a few dollars. I'll get more in a couple of weeks. I did not have fun to answer that question, and that's something Sean even said in the midst of Game 5, and I say this a lot. Like, during the course of postseason games, off-air, on-air, during games, not during games, I always say this is not fun. Like, I'm not enjoying myself. And Sean even said, especially as they were rallying and the game was close and Stanton came up with guys on base and Rizzo came up with guys on base, he uttered the Evan phrase, I hate sports. I don't know why I like this. There's nothing fun about this. So he didn't have fun either.
Well, and I had fun on 5-0, to be honest. I was having fun then.
I had fun. You know what? Now that the Mets have been dead for a week and a half, I can say it was a fun season, but in the moment, I was miserable.
Yeah.
In the moment, it was not a lot of fun. By the way, speaking of baseball, it is time for your baseball IQ trivia question presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers and the all-electric Cadillac Lyriq. Last night, the LA Dodgers won the World Series at Yankee Stadium, and they celebrated. When was the last time a road team celebrated a world championship on the field at Yankee Stadium? We'll take caller number 3 at 866-540-WFAN, 866-540-9326, to answer your baseball IQ trivia question, and you could win a $250 American Express gift card. Your baseball IQ trivia question is presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers and the all-electric Cadillac Lyriq.
Just to fix that question, the last time before last night.
I said that.
I don't know if you said before last night.
As I've said to you once before, Sean, very demeaning of you.
No, I just want to make sure because it's a contest. We got to be clear.
No, the answer isn't last night. The prior time to last night that a road team celebrated a world championship
but that's at Yankee Stadium. You said when was the last time?
All right. I'm just telling you,
last time was last night.
And Evan came up with the question. You came up with the question.
I thought by referencing last night, that would be the indicator that we are not looking for last night. Hmm. We are looking for the prior time to last night that a road team celebrated a championship at Yankee Stadium. Let's go to Mike, who's calling from Stamford, Connecticut. How you doing today, Mike?
Doing really good. How about you guys?
Good.
All right, man. What's up?
First time caller. It's all a pleasure. Thank you. I just want to break down the outfield skills. I'm not a master of many things in life. Playing outfield is close for me to being. And I see Soto. His angles. Did you see the difference between Betts and him? You guys are so knowledgeable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Big difference. Also, I don't want to think about, maybe he could be a DH 5 years from now. He's too young to think that. You got to open that for Judge and, Soto's still around.
Well, in fairness, right? Evan said 10 years from now.
I did say 10 years. Oh, thank you, Tate.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Mike, is your point, because I don't disagree with you about his defense. We now have gotten the luxury of watching Juan Soto every day, and I believe eye tests are more important than, metrics that judge defense. I think your eyes will do it. And my eyes tell me he is an average defensive right fielder, sometimes feels below average, but I would say overall he's a very average defensive right fielder. What are you suggesting? You don't want to keep him because of that?
Right. I don't want to pay him $600 million. I'd rather get a good couple free agents, Corbin Burns. Say like, hey, Oscar Hernandez. I know it's a little weird to say that now, but I'd rather have those two guys. I'd rather have a couple good free agents. And just going back to the outfield skills, Judge is a very, very good outfielder. He just took his eye off the last second to try to throw the runner out at first to make up for his lackluster play that he's been playing.
So a couple of things, because I want to answer that, and thank you for the call, and I appreciate that you countered with, I will use that money for this and this. I would love Corbin Burns on my team, but can we understand the risks that are involved? We're talking about paying an ace on a 7 or 8 year contract. You, the Yankees, have already committed long term to Carlos Rodon and Gerrit Cole. Are you really comfortable with giving another guy that kind of long term contract? He's a wonderful pitcher, but let's be honest, and I'd say this about the Mets, and I think I have already on Rico Bronyas, you're hoping you're getting 3-4 years out of him. And then after that, you don't know because pitching has a tough time staying healthy. Teoscar Hernandez is a nice, solid player. If Juan Soto's on your team, forget his defense for a second, because I'm not even arguing that. You're talking about an elite, elite, plus-plus offensive player for 10 years.
Yeah, at his prime. That's 10 years at his prime. That's why it's worth it, because he's so young. He's 25 years old. Soon to be 26, actually. Didn't he just turn 26?
He just turned 26.
Yep, yeah, just turned 26. So you have him at his prime, and he's highly motivated to be great. Right? I mean, I don't think he had the season that he had this year, even though maybe it was because he was a contract year where he hit a record number of home runs, or at least a personal best in home runs. But he's motivated to be great. It's just, it feels like that's just in his DNA. And it's going to cost you. And so it is what it is. To find players like that is very, very rare.
And I don't think nitpicking his defense is the right way to approach it. Like, I'm not arguing about his defense.
Well, that's not going to be the reason that you don't sign him.
No. No, I think you have to have eyes wide open. And what I said about DHing is that I think Juan Soto is going to get 15 years. I've said that for 9 months now. I think he can, and I think he will get a 15-year contract, which is going to take him until he's 40, 41 years old.
Right.
Eyes wide open, yeah, the last few years of that contract, he's probably a DH. But as much as you want to criticize the angles he takes on balls or how he's not Mookie Betts, he is not a DH at 26 years old. He may not be Roberto Clemente. He may not be Mookie Betts. But the idea that he's so unplayable that he's going to clog DH for the next 15 years, to me, is not true. So he's worth it. I really think that. And I've said that before the Yankees acquired him. I said it when it was rumors. And now getting the privilege, and I really do think it was a privilege to watch this man play baseball every single day, I feel further emboldened that you pay that man whatever it takes to either keep him in the Bronx, or if you're a Met fan listening, bring him to Queens. There is no number or no amount of years that I would blink at. Now, maybe you guys disagree. I'm not blinking for a second. I would pay him, and I'd bring him in no matter what it takes.
And this is not a shot at Aaron Judge at all, I promise you. Watching Juan Soto play every day over the course of a season was the most joy I've had watching an individual play baseball in the Yankees since Derek Jeter retired.
Is that right? Not even the chase for 62?
By the way, that's not a shot, and I had fun with that. But I'm talking about, forget the home runs and everything, just the appreciation of baseball, the way he works counts, the fire, everything he played with it. I hate to say, he just made baseball not boring again for a lot of people.
And I want to apologize for something, because I remember making this prediction to you guys in February, and I want to own that I turned out to be wrong after watching him for a full year. Back in February, and Tiki, you looked at me and said, you got 10 heads when I said this. I said, I can see Soto pissing fans off that he's not going to be aggressive enough, and that there are going to be at-bats in which you're going to say, you know what? You're out there looking for a walk. I remember Wade Boggs took that criticism from the great Christopher Mad Dog Russo many years ago, where he would say, hey, listen, Wade, you're a great hitter looking for a walk. I hear Wade Boggs, go get a hit. I never felt, never, over the course of this season, that Juan Soto was looking for walks.
No, I didn't.
What I felt was, he said, I have a game plan. I know the strike zone better than you, which he does, and I'm not going to give in.
Right.
And I think there's a fine line between the two, and I never had that feeling he was looking for walks as opposed to just being such a great student of the strike zone.
So the home run that he, the iconic one to send him to the World Series, that one. Yeah. He was not looking for a walk at all.
Agreed.
From pitch one, he was digging into the eyes. It was Estevez. Digging into his eyes, saying, I got you. I'm waiting for you to make a mistake, and then I got you. So
I love you, by the way. You confused Estevez because he gave up the Lindor grand
slam. Oh, that's right. That's right.
It was Hunter Gass.
Hunter Gass. So, but he was staring him down.
Yes.
Right? Like, was Lindor doing the same thing?
It was a battle with Estevez. He finally got the pitch at the grand slam.
But it wasn't the same as Soto.
No.
Soto was, throw me this pitch. I know you're going to throw. He made him throw him the pitch. And then he crushed it. And so
the talk about Soto by everybody before he came here was that moment, the moment that we were just describing, that moment he's going to walk. That's what everybody wanted to make us fear
yeah.
Juan Soto.
But yeah.
That's not who he was. I didn't see that much at all this season.
I never saw it. And I think that's the beauty of watching a guy every day. And that's why I say I had joy, just as a baseball fan, forget my rooting interest, in watching him, because I think he went about it the right way. I think he's one of the great hitters I've ever seen. And you can argue with Baseball Reference and stats, and he's not Ted Williams, and he's not this, he's not that. I've watched a lot of guys play baseball. His approach, his battle, everything about him, he's one of the great hitters you'll ever see. And that's why, if you're the New York Yankees, or in my case, as a Met fan, there is no number that would make me feel uncomfortable. Not one. Pay him. And that goes for everybody.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.